Hello, my name's Dave Emery, and this is For the Record program number 568, titled The Life and Times of Hasan Cengiz. This is being recorded on September 3rd of the year 2006. The title of the broadcast refers to Hasan Cengiz. He is a Bosnian Muslim whose life and time, so to speak, exemplify a very important element of political evolution, a very important element of the contemporary political landscape, and one whose importance could not possibly be exaggerated, but one, unfortunately, that has been largely ignored. It's silly season in America, and frankly, around much of the rest of the world. George Bush recently mentioned that we were at war with Islamic fascists, which is quite true. He didn't mention that those same Islamic fascists have the deepest inroads into the Republican Party, courtesy of people like Grover Norquist and Karl Rove and his business partner Talat Atman, but that's another story. And recently, too, Donald Rumsfeld has been saying that those who are against the war in Iraq are like the appeasers of fascism in the run-up to World War II. Donald Rumsfeld, however, has not mentioned such things as the Crusade for Freedom, which paved the way for entire SS units to be brought into the country and for SS men and other virulent European fascists and war criminals to become a critical element of the Republican Party. Donald Rumsfeld did not mention Otto von Bolschwing, the SS officer who for a time was in charge of SS policies towards Israel, who became, or towards the Middle East, I should say, who became one of the beneficiaries of the Crusade for Freedom, and an individual whose protege, Helena von Damm, selected all of the personnel from which Ronald Reagan selected his administrations. And many of those junior players became the so-called neocons of today. No, Donald Rumsfeld did not mention that. However, one should note that, as the old expression says, a broken clock is right twice a day, and George W. Bush is certainly a broken clock if ever there was one. He happens to be right about the fact that we're at war with Islamic fascists. And one of the things that that has done, of course, it has cued the inevitable knee-jerk response among some of Bush's critics who are saying, no, fascism is a European phenomenon and there's no such thing as Islamic fascism. And people in the Middle East, including the Saudis, have faulted him, saying that, again, the same thing, that that fascism is a European phenomenon. Well, Islamic fascism is, in fact, a reality, has been for a long time. The thing that's important to note is that the Islamic fascist community, which is huge and profound, is part of the international fascist community, part of the fascist international, and has been for a long time. To make an extremely long story very short, go to the Spitfire website at www.spitfirelist.com and access For the Record program number 456, Nazi and Fascist Connections to 9/11, and that will illustrate not only the reality of Islamic fascism, but how it fits in with the worldwide fascist community. What we're going to do in this broadcast, however, is to examine Hasan Cengiz. Hasan Cengiz was a veteran of the 13th Waffen-SS Division in World War II. That was a Bosnian Muslim Waffen-SS Division. He then later went to work both for Al-Qaeda and related elements, and also for the Iranian Shia Islamic fundamentalists and Islamic fascists as well. Ultimately, Hasan Cengiz became the deputy defense minister of Bosnia in the 1990s, and in that capacity, he recreated the 13th Waffen-SS Division as the most important military unit of the new Islamic government of Bosnia, something one almost never hears about. Increasingly these days, I find myself using the adjective surreal to describe the contemporary political landscape. When a Waffen-SS division can be recreated in the mid-1990s, and hardly anybody talks about it, that is surreal. But we're going to take a look now at the life and times of Hasan Cengiz, from the 13th Waffen-SS division of his youth to the contemporary, or at least 1990s version of the 13th Waffen-SS division, and many things that have gone in between, because the life and times of Hasan Cengiz, spelled C-E-N-G-I-C, illustrate a very important and profound phenomenon. We're going to begin touching on the 13th Waffen SS Division with a short paragraph from an article that is available in its entirety in the written description for the Record program number 564. This article is an op-ed column from the San Francisco Chronicle of Sunday, January 8th of 2006. It's an article by Edwin Black titled, "Denial of Holocaust, Nothing New in Iran. Ties to Hitler led to plots against British and Jews." And skipping down, we read, speaking of the Grand Mufti, Waffen SS Major, first leader of the Palestinian National Movement, and the man who put together the 13th, 21st, and 23rd Waffen SS Divisions, all of the Muslim Balkan Waffen SS Divisions, we read, "When the Mufti raised three divisions of Islamic Waffen SS to undertake cruel operations in Bosnia, among the 30,000 killers were some volunteer contingents from Iran. Iranian Nazis, along with the other Muslim Waffen SS, operated under the direct supervision of Heinrich Himmler and were responsible for barbarous actions against Jews and others in Bosnia. Recruitment for the murderous Hanjar divisions was done openly in Iran." Now, what we're going to do now is to take a look at the evolution of Hasan Cengiz, whose life and times illustrate the evolution of Islamic fascism as part of the fascist international over the decades. And by the way, much of the rest of the program, at least a nice chunk of it, is already available to listeners in the aforementioned description for the Record 456 on the Spitfire website at www.spitfirelist.com. From the obituary for Aliya Izetbegovic, the head of the first president of the, quote, independent, unquote, Bosnia, this is by David Binder from the New York Times of October 20th of 2003. "During World War II, when Bosnia became part of the puppet Nazi state of the Croatian Ustashi, Mr. Izetbegovic joined the Young Muslims. Mr. Izetbegovic supported the Hanjars, the German SS division." And Aliya Izetbegovic was part, again, of the Young Muslims that recruited for the 13th Waffen SS Division. Skipping down from the book Some Call It Peace by Yosef Podansky, "Indicative of Sarajevo's intentions and priorities is the appointment in January 1996 of Hasan Cengiz to the position of Deputy Defense Minister, the man in charge of the implementation of the reorganization of the armed forces. A veteran of the SS Hanjar Division during World War II, Cengiz is a close personal friend and confidant of Aliya Izetbegovic, especially since the time they served together in Yugoslav President Tito's prison." Again, the aforementioned Hasan Cengiz was in the 13th Waffen SS Division. Aliya Izetbegovic, the first head of Bosnia, recruited for the 13th Waffen SS Division. And we're going to take a look now at some of the politics that took place for Hasan Cengiz in the interim. We're going to take a look now at a portion of a column that, an article that was posted on the website of Douglas Farah. Douglas Farah is a former Washington Post correspondent. Perhaps he's still working for them, but he now has his own blog, and he published a very good book about Islamic terrorist funding called Blood from Stones that I've accessed in the past. And on July 19th of this year, he published an article, "While Lebanon Boils, Watch Bosnia." And his concern in the article is that with public attention focused, of course, on Lebanon, that the very tenuous situation in Bosnia could be made to explode. The article reads, "It is always hard to focus on broad pictures when so many fires are in need of being put out, but it's imperative to keep in mind in the ongoing conflict Iran's long-standing ties not only to Hezbollah, but to Islamists in Bosnia, a relationship that spans more than a decade. There is concern among Bosnian contacts that if Iran feels things are going badly in Lebanon and that the war needs another front, it would take little to ignite Bosnia. It would not be hard to do, and the international presence in Bosnia is greatly reduced. So is the intelligence capacity developed in the late 1990s. Several key intelligence gathering units have been dissolved in Bosnia in the past 6 months, meaning the West is more blind there than at any time since the mid-1990s. What follows next is discussion of the Iranian Islamofascist's connections to Hasan Cengiz. To date, Iranian intelligence maintains a huge apparatus in Bosnia and several dozen, if not hundreds, of trainers with the elite units of the Bosnian military. In addition, several hundred Mujahideen who fought in Afghanistan and then Bosnia remain scattered around Bosnia, many of them still with the elite Bosnia units or in the intelligence apparatus. It's worth remembering this heavy Iranian involvement in the Bosnian conflict because it was in Bosnia that Al-Qaeda developed its template for future operations. One of the most interesting things is that while the Mujahideen and Bosnian Muslims were supported by Saudi Arabia and many others, much of the aid flowed through Iran despite the Shiite-Sunni divide. The bridge was Hasan Cengiz, an Iranian intelligence agent and later Bosnia's deputy defense minister, who has been designated by the U.S. Treasury Department. Cengiz did some of his earliest weapons deals through Victor Bout, who flew in hundreds of tons of weapons for the Bosnian Muslims in 1992. He later sold Cengiz at least one aircraft and perhaps more. Cengiz, although working on behalf of Iran, coordinated the Saudis' multi-hundred-million-dollar financial support for the Bosnian Muslims as well. There are concrete examples of this. During one period in the late 1990s, Wael Juladin, now designated by both the U.S. and Saudi Arabia as a terrorist financier, received $8 million from a Cengiz-controlled account of the Third World Relief Agency, or TWRA. Juladin later repaid the money to the TWRA account in a series of smaller payments. Given Iran's ongoing desire to push a pan-Islamist agenda and the advantages it gains from ongoing turmoil, not only in terms of oil revenues, but in terms of being able to build alliances, move agents, and set a pan-Islamist agenda, its leaders could well feel the need to use another arrow from its quiver. But it could be that no one is watching Bosnia as it prepares to burn. Well, we'll see if Bosnia burns or not. You heard a reference to Victor Bout. Victor Bout is a Russian-born weapons dealer who is one of the world's premier weapons dealers and has been shipping a great deal of armaments to Islamic forces around the world, despite the fact that he's also been able to swing some deals for elements that are at least nominally allies of, among other elements, U.S. intelligence. Once again, Douglas Farah has an article, F-A-R-A-H, by the way, is his last name, has an article about Victor Bout on his website. This is from April 12th of 2005. Counterterrorism blog is what Douglas Farah is calling his blog, obviously. Victor Bout's Excellent Bosnian Adventure, and it reads, "It seems as though the fingerprints of Victor Bout, B-O-U-T, arms trafficker extraordinaire, can be found in most places that have had trouble in recent years. The most recent intelligence reports I've received come from Bosnia and show Bout has been an active partner of Mr. Hasan Cengiz, the head of radical Islam in Bosnia and key organized crime figure. Interesting how Bout shows up in numerous Muslim-related conflicts, often where U.S. policymakers are having a particularly difficult time in getting weapons to one side or the other. The paper trail left by Bout in Bosnia makes it hard to discern exactly what he was up to there, but in March of 2001, he was leasing two Ilyushin IL-72s from Bio Air Services and had them based in Sharjah, United Arab Emirates. Cengiz, on the U.S. Treasury Department's list of banned individuals and chief arms provider to the Bosnian Muslims during the Bosnian conflict, where Al-Qaeda and other radical elements led by Cengiz took control of the lucrative arms trade, controls BioAir. The European intelligence report says that BioAir leased two of its aircraft to Bout after illegally importing them into Bosnia in the first place. Before the aircraft were owned by BioAir, they belonged to Atlas Iran. Cengiz spent much of the Bosnia war in Iran and works as an Iranian intelligence agent. Here is my complete blog." And still more about Hasan Cengiz and his many and varied alliances, including TWRA, the most inappropriately named Third World Relief Agency. The Third World does not need relief like this. They need relief from this kind of relief. And this particular article is from July 14th of 2005. It's a posting by Andrew Cochran, Douglas Farah, London and the Possible Bosnia Connection. And this reads, "There's one intriguing detail in the emerging picture of the London bombings that are almost entirely overlooked. The possibility that the high-level explosives came from the Balkans. For several months, Western intelligence officials in Bosnia have been warning their counterparts that high-level plastic explosives have gone missing and were possibly in terrorist hands. One official told me a few months ago that if there were an attack in Europe, it would be very likely that the material would have been obtained in Bosnia. The big question now is why no one paid attention to the warnings. There remains a small, dedicated group gathering intelligence on these types of operations, but their work is given a low priority, and the entire intelligence gathering structure providing what little reliable information is available on radical Islamic movements and leaders in Bosnia is slated to disappear at the end of the year. This is an incredibly short-sighted move by international donors who no longer want to pay relative pocket change, only a few million dollars a year to keep the operation going." Now about Cengiz and his operations. "While Western forces continue to scale back their activities in the Balkans and slash their intelligence gathering capabilities there in the mistaken belief that things are returning to normal, radical Islamists are steadily preparing for renewed activity and are already engaged in acts of violence. The gun that killed Dutch filmmaker Theo van Gogh came from Bosnia. The huge, unsecured stockpiles of weapons and explosives make obtaining these items easy. And there are still militant Islamists in positions of power. The foremost is Hasan Cengiz, now in the Bosnia parliament, who was a former deputy defense minister in charge of arming Bosnian Muslims during the Bosnian War. He set up, with the help of a very reluctant U.S. intelligence community, a weapons pipeline that ran primarily through Iran. He was also a director of the Third World Relief Agency, or TWRA, the fake Islamic charity that funneled hundreds of millions of dollars to radical Islamists during that conflict. Much of the money remains unaccounted for. TWRA officially went out of business in 1996, but more than $300 million in assets were not accounted for. It's interesting to note that Victor Bout, happily flying for the U.S. military and Kellogg Brown and Root in Iraq and Afghanistan, dealt with Cengiz often and provided him with at least one aircraft during the Bosnian War. It is often forgotten that Bosnia played an extremely significant role in the formation of Al-Qaeda and that the infrastructure established during that war were never eradicated. Al-Qaeda and other Salafist groups used Bosnia as a training ground, a financial center, a weapons storage site, and a money laundering center. Bosnia is still an active center for all of those activities. We ignore the obvious signs of danger at our own expense. Maybe the supply of high-grade explosives from the region will finally focus the necessary attention on Bosnia as an unfinished enterprise." Well, again, note that as Andrew Cochran puts it here on Douglas Farah's blog, that Hasan Cengiz was the beneficiary of a very reluctant U.S. intelligence community. I think one of the things that not only helped to retard the ability or the willingness of the United States intelligence community to deal with Al-Qaeda was the fact that the Afghan paradigm, so to speak, was applied in the Balkans. There's very firm evidence that Osama bin Laden visited and provided aid to the aforementioned Alija Izetbegović, who recruited for the 13th Waffen-SS Division in World War II. The reference to the London bombings here is interesting. John Loftus, among others, has pointed out that one of the people involved in the London bombings had worked for British intelligence in Bosnia. This is not to say, necessarily, that U.S. and or British intelligence are directing the terrorist bombings that are happening around the world. That's a facile interpretation that the conspiracy crowd is into. In the run-up to World War II in the early 20s, much of the German military actually trained and armed itself inside of the former Soviet Union as a result of the Treaty of Rapallo. A third of the Weimar Republic's budget went into a dummy corporation headed up by Colonel Walter Nikolai in charge of Reichswehr intelligence in the post-World War I period for specifically rearming Germany secretly inside of the Soviet Union. The Soviet Union and post-World War I Germany were pariah nations, so they formed a Realpolitik alliance. The fact that the German military in the run-up to World War II had much of its training and rearmament done inside of the Soviet Union does not mean that the Wehrmacht and the Waffen-SS and the Kriegsmarine and the Luftwaffe were Soviet agents provocateurs. That is about as good an analogy as I can provide. But again, I think the Afghan paradigm was applied in the Balkans, and that's one of the things that not only helped to retard Western intelligence's coming to grips with what al-Qaeda actually was, I also think it's one of the things that keeps the Democrats relatively silent about the direct Muslim Brotherhood / al-Qaeda Hamas Palestinian Islamic Jihad connection to Grover Norquist and Karl Rove's Islamic Institute. Now, one of the things we're going to look at next concerns, we've taken a look at Hassan Cengiz, his links with, among others, at least some, with U.S. intelligence. We're going to take a look at his links with an al-Qaeda front set up by Osama bin Laden and Sheikh Rahman, the blind sheikh. This organization is C-K-I-R-C-I-R-K-L, and that is a bin Laden / Sheikh Rahman front. This is from the Militant Islam Monitor website, and it's in turn accessed from a Yugoslavian website, or probably at this point a Serbian website, and it deals with a fellow named Hassan Cerić, or Dr. Mustafa Cerić, excuse me. He is the chief imam of the Muslim congregation in Bosnia and is part of the same connection as Ali Izetbegović and Hassan Cengiz. This particular posting reads, Cerić declared in the article above that, quote, I am a proud that Islam defines my European patriotism, unquote. It also appears to have been very lucrative for him as well. According to this recent article, Cerić is linked to the CIRL, a funding operation, quote, which was in charge of all aid donated to Bosniak Muslims by Islamic countries, unquote. The CIRKL was started by Sheikh Abdelrahman and Osama bin Laden. Quote, information collected by Austrian and German intelligence agents and published in August of 2004 in Banyaluka's Patriot paper claims that Islamic terrorists, including Osama bin Laden and Sheikh Rahman, organized CIRKL. The group was set up as the only link between the Bosnian Muslim political leadership of the time and its wealthy Islamic benefactors. Instead of a Bosniak government, it was the illegal CIRKL that was in control of all aid donated to the Bosniak nation by Islamic countries. The Bosniak nation is 100% financially dependent on the CIRKL. The CIRKL is the absolute master of almost all hard currency, unquote, according to the intelligence document which dates back to November 6, 1995 and is labeled top secret. The document also lists the key people in the CIRKL in charge of Bosnia as Dr. Fatih Al-Husseinian, Hassan Cengiz, Salim Sabic, Muhammad Katic, Mustafa Cerić, Hussein Zivals, and Sanad Sahin Pasic. So a note again that Hassan Cengiz was one of the principal people in the CIRKL involved in channeling all aid to Bosnia in conjunction with, albeit perhaps reluctant, elements of U.S. intelligence, again noting what we have noted above. Now, what did Hassan Cengiz do when he became deputy defense minister? He reconstituted the Bosnian armed forces. From the Daily Telegraph of Britain of December 29, 1993, these are the men of the Hanjar division. We do everything with a knife and we always fight on the front line, a Hanjar told one UN officer. Up to 6,000 strong, the Hanjar division glories in a fascist culture. They see themselves as the heirs of the SS Hanjar division formed by Bosnian Muslims in 1943 to fight for the Nazis. Their spiritual model was Muhammad Amin al-Hussein, the Grand Mufti of Jerusalem, who sided with Hitler. According to UN officers, surprisingly few of those in charge of the Hanjars in Fosnica seem to speak good Serbo-Croatian. Many of them are Albanian, whether from Kosovo, the Serb province where Albanians are the majority, or from Albania itself. And still more, they are trained and led by veterans from Afghanistan and Pakistan, say UN sources. The strong presence of native Albanians is an ominous sign. It could mean the seeds of war are spreading south via Kosovo and into Albania, thence to the Albanians of Macedonia. Pakistani fundamentalists are known to have had a strong hand in providing arms and a small weapons industry for the Bosnian Muslims, unquote. And still more about the Hasan Cengic reconstituting the 13th Waffen-SS division in the 90s. This, again, from Some Call It Peace by Yusef Badansky. Another major Islamist force remained, the Hanjar Division, named after the 13th SS Hanjar Division, which served under the German flag in World War II. The current Hanjar Division is Sarajevo's Praetorian Guards and is comprised of a 2,500 to 3,000 elite force deployed in Sarajevo and a 6,000 to 7,500 strong backup force at a major training base around Fosnica, but it has moved around to augment major fighting fronts. The majority of the troops of the Hanjar Division come from the region's non-Bosnian Muslim minorities, primarily Albanians, and are led by veteran Pakistani and Afghan experts. In mid-1993, Sarajevo revived the Hanjar Division as the Praetorian Guard for President Alija Izetbegović and other senior leaders in Sarajevo. Skipping down again. Significantly, the majority of the troops of the Hanjar Division are not Bosnian Muslims. Instead, they come from the region's other Muslim minorities, primarily Albanians, and are led by veteran Pakistani and Afghan experts. Surprisingly few of those in charge of the Hanjars in Fosnica seem to speak good Serbo-Croatian. Many of them are Albanian, whether from Kosovo or from Albania itself, explained UN officers in Fosnica. And note that this organization was force-projecting into Kosovo and Macedonia in the early 1990s. Skipping down again. By 1995, the Hanjar Division had been transformed into a zealot and combat-proven special forces. In many cases, particularly in the surge into western Bosnia-Herzegovina in the summer and fall of 1995, they operated in close cooperation with the Mujahideen units. The deployment of Albanian veterans and support Mujahideen cadres to Albania began in the fall of 1995. Well, as noted in a number of programs, the force projection did indeed take place because the violence did indeed spread to Kosovo. And then for a time into Macedonia. I would note that many of the people in the Kosovo Liberation Army were the sons and grandsons of various Balkan fascist fighting units, including the 21st Waffen-SS Division, or Skanderbeg Division, also put together by the Grand Mufti, which was composed primarily of ethnic Albanians from Kosovo. So again, when one hears people responding reflexively to George Bush and his discussions of Islamic fascism, again, my feelings about George Bush should be only too clear to listeners. However, if George Bush says 2 plus 2 equals 4, that doesn't mean it equals 5. And in this case, he happens to be right. Of course, again, he's not discussing the profound connections between those same Islamic fascists and his own inner core, such as Karl Rove, Grover Norquist, and Talat Altman. And Donald Rumsfeld sure as hell isn't talking about links between the European fascists and the Republican Party, exemplified by the Crusade for Freedom. But again, when one talks about Islamic fascism, one could seek no better illustration than to see the cross-section that is provided into the evolution of Islamic fascism as part of the international fascist community by the life and times of Hasan Cengic. This concludes For the Record program number 568, The Life and Times of Hasan Cengic, being recorded on September 3rd of 2006. My name's Dave Emery. Thanks for listening.